Sweat? You mean armpit tears of weakness brought about by poor deodorant choices? Say goodbye to that salty river that floweth from your underarm with Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Made for 24/7 sweat protection with daily use and an undeniable smell of cedarwood and lime. Giving you the confidence you need to quit your job, move to a remote island, and spend your days frolicking with dolphins. Old Spice Swagger Antiperspirant. Shop Old Spice now.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, and welcome aboard. 5 o'clock in the morning, August the 4th, 2021. The voice may sound familiar. That's right. My name is Dave Rothenberg, and I'm back. And I'm back, and as they say, better than ever. I don't know if that's true. And let's say good morning to the only guy, the Cal Ripken of DCR. That, of course, is the great Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. It's great to hear your voice, and it was great to see your face on the Zoom call this morning while we were doing our production meeting, man. How was your vacation?
Outstanding. You know what was great about the vacation? We went to Lake George. I don't know if you've ever been there or know much about
it. I have not.
Great. Santiago didn't even know it existed until I told him that that's where we're going on vacation. So we go up there. We rent the boat. I mean, it's now confirmed. I'm a boater. Yes, I am. I'm a certified boater. Went around Lake George, yelled at the kids. Alex got nervous because I was going fast and it was a little choppy, and he got nervous and he, maybe we should go back. I said, stop it. Be quiet. Let me take control of the reins here and boat around Lake George. And we did. And at the end of the little boating excursion, he's like, Dad, I got to tell you, I had a phenomenal time. I was like, that's right. That's right. And that's what would happen. But the beauty of the trip was, we went away, and then I had a couple days on the back end to just kind of relax and enjoy the home life without waking up at, you know, the ungodly hour that we wake up on. So, Chris, phenomenal time. But that being said, happy to be back. Very happy to be back.
Open your head above water. Even though
we're in the Wednesday. I know you're not a big fan of the Wednesday. So, I mean, you're coming back on a Wednesday. I mean, I'm just saying, how are you feeling about that?
Well, here's the difference now. The Wednesday, really, for all intents and purposes for me, is the Monday, right?
Because
it's my first day of the week. So if I were in your shoes where I'm working a full, and I know how you do these 5-day-a-week things now, but if I was doing that, it would be a lot for me. And then the Wednesday would be typically frustrating, and I would probably be in the doldrums today. But because the Wednesday is like the Monday for me, and it's really, in essence, a 3-day week or 4 if you consider my Saturday show, I feel good today. I feel energized. I feel excited. I'm thrilled to be back. I am disappointed with RJ right off the bat, though. Right, and I don't know if you caught
what did RJ do? What happened?
I think what's happening is he's in a way. I think that because he has the wedding coming up, there's probably stress. His home life is probably, you know, very stressful right now at the moment. He says to me, and it was very flippant, and I don't know if anybody else caught it because I mentioned it to Santiago, and he's like, oh, I didn't even catch that. He said, how dialed in were you? How much sports did you actually consume over your vacation? how dare he?
So you took that as a sign of disrespect.
I thought so.
Dave Rothenberg wouldn't be paying attention to the New York sports landscape.
As if I was going to have to go through like the sports for dummies at 4:50 this morning, where he would say, okay, the Mets have been playing poorly and the Yankees made some. Oh, wait, should we recap everything I missed, RJ? Like, did the Yankees make any moves at the deadline? Did the Mets bring in any players? I mean, is there anything you need to tell me before we start the show today?
Trust the speakers!
Well, here I am.
Yeah.
At 4 whatever in the morning before the show. This is off the air. Just trying to make sure all bases are covered. Trying to make sure my guy Dave has all the tools for success.
Right.
So he doesn't hop on with Chris, who's been plugged in. And, you know, Chris bring up X, Y, or Z. And Dave's like, oh, I didn't know that happened.
Chris, let me ask you.
And here we are.
Let me ask you as a very involved third party. at one moment when you woke up this morning in the 3 o'clock hour and got ready for the show and did your prep work and talked to RJ and talked to me and talked to Santiago and all these things, at one moment did you have a second of, boy, I hope Rothenberg is dialed in and has paid attention to sports during his vacation?
Dave, I got to tell you, not once did that cross my mind. Didn't even think about it. I mean, when it comes to the stories and everything that we got to talk about, like, you're always dialed in. You always got all your bases covered. So for not one second did I think that you were going to get caught sleeping at some point during this show and I was going to bring up something that you didn't already know.
Thank you.
Didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah.
The Knicks are great.
I love watching this team.
No.
Don't play embarrassing sound bites from yesteryear with me. No, RJ, apologize. I think a full apology from you at the moment is something that should take place.
Well, I'm not sorry. I was trying to help you. And I will never ask again. You could be gone. You could take the next year off and come back, and you could have been on another planet up in space.
Well, you know what's so upsetting to me?
I won't check with you.
I'll tell you what's so upsetting to me. Because I'm on my vacation. I told this story to you guys in the pre-show meeting. I'm on my vacation. We're at this really phenomenal romantic restaurant down by the lake, and it's sensational. And we're sitting there, and it's, you know, 5-star and white cloth napkins and the whole thing. Mm. And I have my phone on the table on the ESPN app, and I'm watching the play-by-play of all the different games going on. That's the level of respect that I show to this show and to the fan base and to me as a sports fanatic, right? Just that's a way of life. And for RJ to say, you know, are you buttoned up? Do you know what's going on in the world of sports? Quite frankly, is something that's probably going to ruin the rest of my day. I thought it was very hurtful.
So you feel like he's disrespecting your work ethic by not thinking that you're taking the responsibility of driving the show as seriously as you should. Like, even in your downtime, you're responsible for consuming content and knowing what's going on. But being on vacation the last week and a half, for some reason, he thinks that you weren't going to have all your bases covered.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell, and I know what you're doing, and I appreciate it. You don't want to go after RJ because you love him, and we all love him. But I think what he did there was just mind-boggling and shocking, to be honest with you.
All right, so coming up at 5:15, what we're going to do is run through all the top 100 sports stories while you were gone and see which ones were correct and see what you can tell me about all of them.
I know all of them.
That's coming up in 9 minutes.
I know the Devontae Smith injury. I know Tua's looked terrific in Dolphins camp. I know about this Giants fight. I know Daniel Jones on the bottom of the pile. I know the Yankees got Rizzo. I know every pitcher on the team has COVID. I was at the Mets game when Baez made his debut on Saturday night. I know everything, RJ. Everything.
I thought you were at Lake George.
He's like the Wizard of Oz, RJ. He knows everything.
Everything.
Rothenberg knows all.
That's
Dave,
right.
Let me ask you a question. While you were up at Lake George, did you at once have to threaten to strip naked at any of these restaurants in order for them to put the game on?
No. Not one time. Because I believe that I have begun to mature. And watching the game, although I did get upset, a lot of these hotels around the country, I'm finding, Chris, do not have SNY. So when I go away, it's hard to incorporate the Mets into my life. But no. It was fine because I've matured where we sit at a restaurant and now instead of having to have the game on to watch it, if it's on my phone and I'm monitoring the situation, I feel like everything is pretty good.
Gotcha. So you got one eye on that and then you can pay attention to what else is going on around you. I like it.
That's right.
I like it. That's a solid game plan. And I also feel like you need to be nominated for 3 stars just for your vacation game plan, because making sure that you got a couple of days of downtime once you get back so you can rest up and get ready for work. I mean, bravo to you, Dave Rothenberg. That's the way to do it.
I'm playing to Santiago early on. I want to get back into the game,
I can tell you it's locked in already. Congratulations. It's 5:08. Congratulations. You're locked in for a star.
First of all, have you slept since I've been gone, Santi? You don't sound so good.
Doesn't sound that way. I'm battling. It's all good.
Boy, we have to be the toughest show going on, huh? I mean, RJ comes back from his big soccer bachelor party, and he can't speak for days, and now I come back and Santiago sounds like he's finishing up a bender, and you never miss a day, and I mean, I'm locked in, dialed in on the sports world when I'm away. I mean,
I'm a boater.
Nothing gets past this show.
Yeah, I mean, the Chronicles are the guys behind the glass, though, Dave. I mean, those guys are getting it in, aren't they? They're enjoying the summer. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing wrong.
Good for them. Good for them. All right, speaking of the summer, Chris, and we're going to get to the Giants. Absolutely, we will. And this kerfuffle at Giants camp and Daniel Jones on the bottom of the pile. And certainly want to get your take on that because it's something I'm sure you've been involved with a lot of times. Chris, I have felt so good about the Mets and never really once had a moment of, you know, this thing is starting to fall apart or this thing is going to fall apart. Never once until now. I mean, they are, to say hemorrhaging, Chris, would be an understatement. This is an epic disaster what's going on right now. DeGrom spoke yesterday. I don't know if and when he's going to come back, although he made it sound as if that's the intent right now. The pitchers that you relied upon, right, have now not pitched well because it's another game from Walker last night where he's not good. I don't know, man. I am very uneasy about the situation the Mets are in right now.
No, and you should be, Dave. I mean, for the Mets not to make a move with the starting rotation at the deadline, knowing that you had so many question marks about guys that you were going to have to lean on in the second half, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And while you guys were out, I mean, that was one of the things that Gordon and I were kind of kicking around, the fact that the Mets wouldn't make a move, knowing that you're dealing with some stuff with Jacob DeGrom, knowing that Cookie Carrasco is going to be a little bit of an unknown. And then you're knowing that you're not going to see Noah Syndergaard until September at the earliest. So it's one of those things that's a little bit curious. But I mean, watching Taijuan Walker's performance last night just drives that point home. I mean, he has not been the same pitcher in the second half. I want to say since the All-Star break, he's got an ERA over 15. That's not good. No. I mean, in the second inning, he gives up the solo home run to Alex Jackson. And you're like, okay. Solo home run, that's not going to kill you, but the wheels just fell off in that third inning, Dave. I mean, he's putting guys on base. He's walking guys. Diaz hits the home run, and then Brinson has the base hit, and then De La Cruz drives in two with his RBI base hit in the gap. So it's just one of those situations that you just wonder if you're not going to get the same version of Taijuan Walker, then who's going to eat up those innings, and how are the Mets going to maintain their standing just because – you got so many guys that are dealing with things in your starting rotation, and that's supposed to be the strength of this team. It certainly isn't scoring runs. No. I mean, now last night the Mets gave a valiant effort, and J.D. Davis and James McCann tried to mount a bit of a comeback right there late. But, I mean, this team has not performed up to the expectations offensively, but the reason that you're in pole position in the NL East has been because of your pitching staff and namely the starting rotation, and now that's starting to come apart.
Yeah, that is crumbling at the seams. And offensively, and you know what? I watched the Marlins all weekend because I was very dialed into the sports world, Chris. So I'm watching the Marlins and the Yankees all weekend. I'm thinking to myself, boy, I've never seen a team worse offensively than the Marlins. I mean, you look at the guys you never heard of before, right? Like Miguel Rojas is the one guy you're like, okay, at least I'm familiar with him. But they
Jesus Aguilar, you heard of him.
Yeah, no, he's good and he's had a great year. But I mean, they're offensively, they stink. And they can't score a run to save their lives against the Yankees. Yankees pitching staff had their way against the Marlins. And then they turn up against the Mets and, you know, Lewis Brinson. Every time they talk about Lewis Brinson, it's what a disappointment this guy has been.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He was in the trade for Yelich and he's come over and he's a monumental disappointment. So he stinks. Offensively, they stink. Yet somehow in the first couple of games of the series, they jump out to, I think it's fair to say, Chris, commanding leads over the Mets. And then the Mets can't rebound from it. Now we're sitting here, and it's a game and a half over Philadelphia. Hemorrhaging is the word that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's not great, Dave. And it doesn't feel like there's any relief on site. Now, you did get a solid outing from Cookie Carrasco in his debut with the Mets uniform, and you're hoping that he can build on that. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to kind of save the Mets from the impending disaster that it feels like they're headed down. You know, they're in store for. It just feels like they haven't turned on in the second half the way that we thought they could, and they made the deal for Javi Baez, and we thought that that was going to provide a little bit of a spark to try to get the offense going, and that just has not been the case. So, I mean, you have every right as a Mets fan to be worried, Dave. I mean, the hope is that, you know, you're just going to find a way to kind of tread water, but I'm just not seeing a path as to how the Mets are going to be able to do that if the offense doesn't start clicking.
You know what also gets me angry? Because I was really so dialed into sports while on vacation. is that they knew that the DeGrom injury happened. They knew that there was inflammation. And I'm sure you guys talked about this. And they knew that this was something that was going to be an issue for, I mean, God knows how long. And the one move they made to help bolster this pitching staff whatsoever is 41-year-old Rich Hill. Now, when they made the move, I liked Rich Hill, and
I like Rich Hill.
I liked it. Yeah. But that's the move. Like, that's it. I mean, other teams are going out and bolstering themselves all over the place, and it's not a knock on Rich Hill. I like him. He's fine. But there were other starters, especially you knew what was going on with DeGrom, and you did nothing to try to help yourself as far as the arms race is concerned. I don't know, Chris. Another really curious decision for me.
No, it is a curious decision, and it just felt like with the team being in the position that they were in, it made sense for Steve Cohen and Zach Scott to kind of go all in on this group. Like, go get some more arms. Go get another guy that you feel confident in the rotation that can give you five innings of two-run ball or better. Go out there and make that type of move, because it feels like this is the type of group that's worth investing in, and knowing what they could be potentially if you get into a playoff series, having Jacob DeGrom, having Marcus Stroman, and some combination of Cookie Carrasco, Taijuan Walker, and Noah Syndergaard. To me, it seems like it's worth doing that. Because this team is capable of being able to go on a run just because you're starting pitching at the top end of your rotation is that good. But the fact that you didn't invest in this team and now you're seemingly floundering, and the best you can do in a four-game set with the Marlins is get a split at this point, like, that's got to be a little bit concerning, man. It just doesn't feel like they had the level of urgency that you were looking for them to have. And, you know, with an owner that's supposed to have deep pockets, it seems like this was the year, this was the trade deadline where you could take advantage of opportunities with teams kind of throwing in a towel and cashing in their chips. But that's not what they did. As Mets fans, you got to be extremely frustrated with what they're doing right now.
Yeah, between frustrated and angry, I think is the appropriate terms to use. 800-919-3776. So listen, fill me in on what I missed, because obviously there's a lot that went on in the world of sports since I've been gone, and RJ is going to do that at the next break as well.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. It's great to hear your voice. How was your vacation?
Outstanding.
While you were up at Lake George, did you at once have to threaten to strip naked at any of these restaurants in order for them to put the game on?
No, not one time. Why wear pants? I believe that I have begun to mature, where we sit at a restaurant and now, instead of having to have the game on to watch it, if it's on my phone and I'm monitoring the situation, I feel like everything is pretty good.
This is DCR.
Why does he need to tweet that? I'm confused by this.
That's him sending a little shot at his management.
Joe is giving an awful lot of credit to Steve Cohen.
Call Zach Scott. Why do I have to see it?
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DCR with you. The big 6 o'clock hour, 98.7 ESPN. As Rick continues his a fortnight of vacation, I guess we could call it. Time now for a little straight talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So Wimbledon and the DiPietro vacation have one thing in common. They go 2 weeks long. Two full weeks of vacation.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. He's living it up, isn't he, Dave?
He's living it up.
Man.
And I have a major issue with him. And here's my question to you. Do we bring it up during our show, or we're taking over the K-Show next week, TV and all? Do we save it for then? And as he's back on the show, do we bring it to the public's attention at that point?
Dave, I think we keep it in the chamber, and here's the reason why. I want to ambush him with the question so he's forced to answer it on the spot. I don't want to give him time to craft a defense as to why.
I like it.
As to why he felt the need to do what he did. Like, that's the thing. Like, we got to wait until we're all back together so he can answer for what he did and why we feel aggrieved.
I think we
keep it in the chamber.
I don't even know who he is anymore.
I know. Just when you think you know somebody, they do something and just makes you feel like, man, we're not as close as I thought we were.
I think
I'm
emotionally
care
broken.
As much as I thought he did. Like, it's just like, this is one of those moves that makes you feel like that about Rick. Sad to see it, but it's indefensible, Dave, really.
I would be a menace. Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, what he did, or I guess it's fair to say didn't do, is it's a pox on him, on his good, what I thought was his good name.
Yeah.
That's
I think we wait.
Okay.
We can't bring it up
right
now.
I like your style. So next week, we're doing the K-Show. 2 to 6:30 every day here on 98.7 ESPN. And we, on Monday, when the three of us are reunited, we, not right away, here's what we do, Chris. We tell him that we're upset with him early on in the show, and we let it linger for the show, and then later in the show, we bring it on.
I hope you get attacked by a bobcat.
Okay, I like it. Try to build up a little bit to it. I like it. I'm on board with that.
Yeah, it's very disheartening.
But I want to hear the answer, though. At this point, I want him to answer for it. I got to hear it.
Yeah,
I got to know.
No, I look forward to that.
I did
as
my
well.
Little algorithm yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah. You think on the big stage, on the TV stage with the K show, that I don't know, he has some mess ups, some slip ups?
It's Damer and DePietro, and
I don't know about that. I mean,
he
feel like he's
his
a pro.
Name
pro.
Wrong, Chris.
I get it. He was a little nervous. It threw him off. He's not used to having to do that part of Rule 76. So I understand. I'm giving him a little bit of grace, Dave. I'm giving him
6:45. It is Cuddled Mary. Oh boy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There was one, at least one a day with Gordon.
Really?
Gordon Mary and Chris Sandy. How are you?
I'm good, Chris.
You know, like a new beginning.
Oh yeah.
He is Chris Canty. I'm Gordon Damer in for Dave and Rick.
Yeah, Gordon sounded like he was having a little cocktails with some CBD before we got on the show.
5 o'clock in the morning?
I'm telling you, Gordon, man, there was some
mind-boggling.
Love the guy, but
there was some
stumbling and bumbling going on.
All right, let's get to the Giants in a second. Let's bring in Ryan in Saratoga. Good morning, Ryan. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Mr. Rothenberg. Good morning, Cece. You guys are the best.
Thanks, Ryan.
Missing Humpty, but want to say hello either way. Dave, I'm just wondering, you went to Lake George, right?
Right.
That was your family destination for vacation?
Right.
You drove right by one of the greatest cities, frankly, and an unheralded gem in Saratoga Springs. Why would you go to Lake George and not Saratoga?
I'll tell you why. I've been to Saratoga. I like Saratoga. I find, and you can disagree, and that's fine, I find there are more things to do with kids in Lake George than Saratoga Springs. That's my take, and I stand by it.
I got to ask you this. Is Lake George one of those fancy places when you got your pinky out when you're drinking a cocktail? Like, is it that kind of place? Is it
well,
stuffy?
I will tell you this. The majority of Lake George is not like that.
Okay.
The place we stayed at was a fancy place, yes. I'm the talent.
Okay.
It was. I'm not going to lie to you.
All right.
How about this?
Curious.
How about this? We check in. Walking the grounds. Me.
The grounds. Oh.
it's a property, yeah.
When you refer to it as the grounds,
walking
that just
the
lets
grounds,
me know.
And a gentleman walks by, and he says, I hear, love you. And I'm like, oh, God, what's going on here? I turn. He goes, I love the show. He goes, I'm sorry to interrupt your vacation. I know you're with your kids and your wife. I just love the show. The kids think this is the greatest because they make fun of me nonstop for everything.
And welcome aboard.
So they're just like, oh, we love you. So this the guy, who was a nice guy, he says, I listen every single morning. I love Chris. I love Rick. I love you. I love the show. And he turns to both my boys and he goes, your dad is awesome. Your dad is phenomenal. And they're like, yeah, sure he is. But, I mean, there's people out there, even in Lake George, that appreciate what we're doing on DCR.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Dave, listen, it's one of those things that, I mean, we take a lot of pride in doing what we do. And we try to have a lot of fun talking about sports and we think of it as the candy shop, and we want to make sure that our listeners are enjoying along with us. So, yeah, I get it. And it's great. It's always great to get that positive feedback and to know that there are people on the other end of the microphones that appreciate what we do.
Yep. Oh, and he appreciated it.
Oh, yeah. And I appreciated what the Yankees did last night, too.
Well, I would think you would. Yeah. Let's save the Yankees for a little bit. Let's get into the Giants.
Okay.
And what was now? You're the perfect person to ask. I'm clearly on the outside. To me, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't think this is that big a deal. People are up in arms over what happened at Giants camp yesterday. But rather than my opinion, let's get your opinion. Is this a big deal? No one got hurt. No one's worse for the wear. Is this a really big deal? What happened? The big brawl at Giants camp yesterday.
No, it's not a big deal, especially after the fact when you know that nobody got hurt. Like, that's the thing that you worry about with training camp fights, like having injuries to key guys and having them miss a portion of the season that you're not expecting. Like, it's just, it's one of those things. It's like, why would you hurt one of your own players when we all know that we're in this together? It doesn't make sense. Like, you worry about something like what happened with Steve Smith and Ken Lucas when they got into a fight in training camp, and then Steve Smith took it a step further and broke the guy's jaw while he's taking a knee on the field. Like, you worry about stuff like that happening. Like, you worry about, you know, what happened down in Carolina when you had a guy, JT Ebe, who decides he's going to hit one of the players on the offense, a defenseless guy in Keith Kirkwood, and he has to go to the hospital with concussion symptoms. Like, you worry about stuff like that happening, especially when you put on the pads for the first couple of practices. Things tend to escalate a little bit. And so that had to be why Joe Judge was so livid yesterday and why he decided he was going to make those guys run wind sprints and then do push-ups after the brawl took place. But, I mean, Daniel Jones being at the bottom of a pile when a fight breaks out in practice – is the last thing you want to hear as a Giants fan, but thankfully, he made it out healthy.
Terrified. Now, this is a completely different conversation if something, God forbid, happened to Daniel Jones, right? Separated shoulder, something happened to the knee, I mean, you know, broken finger, anything like that. But at the end of the day, he comes out unscathed, and I think this will be one of those stories that we talk about where we're thankful that nothing happened. But yeah, could you imagine if something actually happened to Daniel Jones, the amount of calls and vitriol and just despair we would have this morning?
Well, I mean, it would make you question everything about Joe Judge in terms of him being able to have institutional control over this team. Like, I mean, the first time you put on pads, you guys break out into a team brawl and you injure your starting quarterback. I mean, this is such a big year for him, such a big year for Daniel Jones in terms of trying to figure out whether or not he's your franchise guy. If it gets off to that kind of start, then I think all the criticism directed at the team and at the coaching staff will be warranted. But the fact is that that's not what happened. And then, Dave, it's got to be a little bit encouraging hearing some of the sound bites from DJ and from Logan Ryan after the fact. And I'm sure the guys behind the glass have been working on getting some of that for us. But, I mean, I was encouraged to hear that. I mean, the thing that kind of sticks out in my mind the most is that, you know, the guys are talking about the opportunity that they feel like they have because of the roster that management has put together. Like, I think the players have a sense of urgency in terms of trying to compete and have a winning season this year. And well, that's what you want to hear in training camp.
They sure better. So let's throw it out there. 800-919-3776. Chris, you know, doesn't think this is that big a deal. I certainly don't think this is that big a deal. But I know a lot of people seem to disagree with that and think that it is for one reason or another. Was this brawl at Giants camp, in fact, in your mind, a big deal? 800-919-3776. You said let's hear from the guys. Of course the guys behind the glass have gotten that done, because RJ was paying very close attention to the world of sports while I was gone on vacation. Here is Daniel Jones asked about the team brawl yesterday at Giants camp.
We're just competing, and everyone's excited. First day of pads, get out there. We got to do a better job controlling that and making sure we're controlled in our enthusiasm and excitement.
Were you, I mean, down the bottom of the pile with 90 grown men around you like that? What do you think?
I was fine. Yeah, I was all good. No problem.
What was Joe's message?
There's consequences for that kind of stuff, and that's the way it is in the game. You know, if you lose your cool, there's consequences, and that hurts the team. So that was the message, and I think everyone understands that.
I listen again. I think these things happen, right? Chris, am I wrong? I mean, how many training camp fights have you either been involved with or seen take place over the course of your career?
Oh, too many to count, Dave.
Right.
Too many to count. I mean, training camp fights happen, but the most important thing is that you don't hurt your teammate. And I think that's the thing that you have to keep an eye out for, and that's what Joe Judge is trying to express to those guys. Like, I mean, we need everybody. The last thing we could do is afford to lose a significant piece to some nonsense that happens in practice. And then beyond that, you have to worry about the guys keeping their composure when the pressure is at its greatest or in the heat of the moment. And you don't want, you know, guys to kind of have those bad habits as they go into the season and have foolish penalties and being an undisciplined team and potentially do something to cost you a game. So I get all the messaging that's coming out of there. I know it sounds a lot like coach speak, but it's a real thing. I mean, making sure that you have a disciplined team, like, that stuff starts in training camp. Training camp is where you shape the identity of your team. Now, as far as the players are concerned and Joe Judge putting the discipline on them after the brawl, I mean, Dave, I think it's important to note that you don't have a lot of guys that are on that team that are pushing back against Joe Judge doing the types of things that he's doing. Like, it's unconventional to have guys run wind sprints and do push-ups in practice as a punishment for a team fight. Like, that doesn't happen after every training camp fight. But the fact that he did it and that you don't have veteran players speaking out against it, I think that gives you a little bit of insight as to how the players on that team feel about him. Now, I think a lot of the guys love him. I'm sure there are some guys in the locker room that don't like his methods. But, Dave, those guys aren't saying much about it. And I think we've seen from Joe Judge, if they had something to say about it, he'd addressed it in short order. And sometimes it could lead to the guy being benched, or sometimes it could lead to the guy being off the team. So I think it speaks to the level of control that Joe Judge does have over this team, the level of discipline that he's trying to instill in this team. And it's something that should be welcome from Giants fans, because we hadn't had it in a long time. You hadn't really seen that level of discipline.
Since Coughlin. Yep.
And so that's what you want from the from a Giants fan perspective. That's what you want to see.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Now, I'm getting these tweets. Chris, you'll know, and Santiago certainly will. There was some kind of a rap battle?
Versus battle at Madison Square Garden, Dave.
I don't know anything about
this. You hadn't heard about this.
I heard about it, but I don't, like for me to give my two cents would be unimpressive. So you
don't know the Locks, or you don't know Dipset? Come on, Dave. No. You got two boys. They know Locks. They know
I'm sure they do.
You heard some of the music.
They were actually, this is funny, we were on vacation, and they were going through all the rappers. They're like, you think this is a rapper? It's a name we made up. So they know all of them.
So that was an actual game that you played.
Yeah,
on vacation.
We played this game. They
is
came
it a
up
rapper
with a list
or
of rappers.
Is it something made up?
Because I said to them, I was like, I know everybody. I'm familiar with everyone. Like, all right, Dad, you ever hear of this guy, of this guy, of this guy? I was like, you made that up. And then that morphed into a game of is this a rapper or did we make this up? But who are the two guys from last night?
It's the Dipset, which is a rap group, versus the Locks, another rap group. Both New York based, which is why they did it in Madison Square Garden.
Gotcha. And you were involved? Yeah. Like you were paying close attention?
Oh, yeah, I was involved. I was involved, absolutely. Absolutely. It turned out to be a one-sided affair, but we'll get into that a little bit later. The guys behind the glass got something teed up for us. So.
Really?
Yes, we got a little something.
Oh.
Just a little something. We're going to incorporate it in one of our feature segments.
I knew something was going on. I did not know what exactly was happening.
Okay.
All is there right. anything I need to be brought up to speed with?
No, you're good, Dave. You're good. You're good. We're going to have a little fun. It's a little bit. We're good. We're good.
Yeah, let me guess this. Whose expense is this going to be at?
You guessed it.
Uh-huh.
You guessed it, Dave. Uh-huh. It's like they say in Rounders, if you're looking around the table and you can't find a sucker, yep. What does that mean?
So this is going to be So I know what we're going to do. We're going to embarrass Rothenberg. This is going to be my welcome back into the show. You take a week and a half off, you come back and watch what we do at 6:45.
Well, we're not doing anything that your boys apparently haven't done with that story you just told. So, yeah. I mean, you should be used to it.
Some of the names are the rappers, by the way.
Yeah.
Chris, they're just dreadful.
Yeah, Little Nas X, Little Uzi. Oh. Yeah, I'm with
everybody's
you.
Little. Is there nobody over 6 feet that's a rapper? Why is everybody so small?
That's a great question.
Little this,
Dave.
Little that, tiny this, little that. Let's stop it. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Before we get to Stump Rothenberg, which I imagine is going to be have an embarrassing tone to it today, Giants fans want to involve themselves in the show. Let's go to James in Jersey. James, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, James.
The only issue that I have with this fight is the guy that does not engage his assignments, he doesn't catch the big passes, is Evan Engram starting this fight. That is my issue. And I think it became such a big thing because a lot of guys might have an issue with him picking on somebody when he should not be the one that should be picking on anybody. He should be coming in with his head down and doing his job, and that's it. Because I don't know about Evan Engram anymore. So thank you very much, guys. Have a good day.
Appreciate
the call, James. And you got to look at it this way. Try not to think of it as Evan Engram picking on anybody. I think Evan Engram was just trying to have Corey Clements back because he's the running back there on the offensive side of the ball. And sometimes defensive players, especially when you're first putting on the pads, can be a little bit chippy. Like, you're taking shots. You have a chance to be able to thud up players. Like, you can actually hit guys. You know, and so I think that it's not uncommon to have a couple of guys come up and hit the ball carrier as they try to finish the run and they try to finish the drill. And I'm sure that Evan Engram just took offense to Corey Clement taking one shot too many, and that's why he retaliated. Now, I'm not mad at Evan Engram. I'm not mad at Logan Ryan in this situation. Like, those things happen when you're practicing and you're trying to figure out how you're going to get your work done, especially the team's first time in pads all year long. But it's just a matter of, you know, having that understanding and being smart about how you're going about your business, because the last thing you want to do is lose somebody to a stupid fight.
Yeah, that's the disaster. Yeah. Unfortunately, they avoided that.
There's no right and wrong in this whole scenario, though. I think people got to move past that. I understand that
there are people, Chris, that have called today saying they kind of like it, and they like a teammate standing up for another, and the chippiness and the fact that these guys are motivated and feisty. I understand all of that. Let's go to Lou in North Carolina. Good morning, Lou. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Hey, CeCe. Thanks for the trip. And Dave, glad to have you back. I just wanted to go ahead and talk about maybe this galvanizing. I know it's early on, but, you know, your quarterback's in there. He's battling with everybody else. You know, the defense, I would think, you know, respects him a little more. If they didn't, you know, he's had a rough couple of years. And it really brings the offense together, knowing that your quarterback has your back, even through the trenches, really.
No, I mean, listen, I like the fact that the team has that kind of intensity out of the gates, and I don't mind a little scrappy throughout the course of training camp. But I will say this, just because you're getting a bunch of camp fights doesn't make you a tough team, mentally or physically. And I think that's what Joe Judge was probably reiterating to the group after the fact. So it's just a matter of watching what happens now and making sure that this Giants team figures out a way to work together in order to improve throughout training camp. And more importantly, being able to form an identity that's going to lead to them having the kind of success that they want to have this upcoming season. Because this is a huge year for Joe Judge in terms of program building. Even bigger year for Dave Gettleman for being the general manager and his future with the club going forward. So, I mean, you don't want to have this type of thing lead to some issues with team chemistry, but I think with the veterans that the Giants have on this team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think that's going to happen.
Bigger year, and I think it's probably close. Bigger year, Daniel Jones, Dave Gettleman.
Ooh. I would say Daniel Jones, because even if Daniel Jones struggles, if the team shows signs that they're kind of turning the corner, I think Dave Gettleman could potentially survive that, knowing that they have that extra first-round pick and an extra fourth-round pick next year. They can find a path to be able to get another quarterback. So I think Daniel Jones, if he doesn't have a good year, I mean, his days as a Giant starter are numbered. So I don't know that he's going to be the guy going into 2022. He's got to have a big jump from year two to year three.
What do you think? Like, what are you expecting? Do you think at the end of the season that we look at Jones and say, okay, you know what, the Giants have the answer at quarterback? Or do you think we get to the end of the season and it's, okay, they have two ones and Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, you know, Deshaun Watson are available on the open market?
So you're asking me what's more likely?
Yeah, what do you think?
Dave, I'm gonna make this decision. I'm gonna give this take with my heart and not my head. I'm going to say that the Giants have their future franchise guy after this year. I mean, listen, there are no excuses for Daniel Jones in terms of why he wouldn't be able to produce this year. I know the O-line is a work in progress, but, I mean, it's not like they haven't invested in the O-line. And the fact is, he is the sixth overall pick. You're going to have to be able to overcome some deficiencies on your team. So if it just happens to be the offensive line, so be it. But, I mean, with the weapons that they put around this guy, there really is no excuse. He's going into the second season with Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator in this system. He should have some familiarity with it. Like, they've got to build on what they did in the second half last year. And again, I come back to what they have surrounded him with, all the playmaking that they have around him. Like, he's got to go out there and he's got to have a big year. He absolutely has to.
So you're in the Daniel Jones succeeding camp, right?
Yes.
All right. But is it like 51-49?
Like I said, Dave, it's with my heart. It's not with my head. I don't want to put a percentage on it. I know you're a big percentage guy.
I love the percentage, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, Daniel Jones has got to pass the eye test. And with the weapons around him, it's hard for me to see how he isn't markedly better than he has been his first couple of years. Because listen, man, he's had 39 turnovers his first 2 years. Like, a part of that is just a lack of awareness with ball security in the pocket, but also a part of that is trying to force the ball in situations that he probably shouldn't, just because there aren't a whole lot of difference makers in that skill position core. But now that you're going to have a healthy Saquon Barkley back, hopefully a healthy Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, Evan Ingram,
Shepherd.
Darius Slayton,
yep.
Sterling Shepard, Kyle Rudolph, I mean, Evan Ingram. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's just like, how many weapons do you need in order to have success? Like, Daniel Jones has the weapons now to be able to go out there and make plays. They cannot be the 31st offense in the NFL this year. God. They've got to take a huge jump.
Huge jump. And they should. And if they don't, he's going to be the one that receives the bulk, if not all, of the blame. All right,
and he would deserve it, right? He would deserve it.
I think so. How could you not blame him? I mean, you just – listen, guys succeed with offensive lines that are average or even subpar.
Yes.
And if you look at the weapons, what were they ranked, like 16th or something? And we thought that wasn't high enough. We thought the Giants offensively are a top 10 outside of the quarterback. I mean, you have a running back who's at worst top 6.
Mm-hmm.
You have a legitimate number one receiver. You have a tight end who, you know, I don't love him, but was a Pro Bowler last year. And mm-hmm. as the third or fourth option, certainly should be good. You have your number one pick, who's apparently a guy that's a home run hitter waiting to happen on every single play.
Yes.
You still have Sterling Shepard. You still have Darius Slayton. Now you brought in Kyle Rudolph. You have Devontae Booker. I mean, you have a lot of weapons on this offense right now. If it's not good, where are you going to look outside of Daniel Jones?
Yeah, that's the point. I think that's the point. So, I mean, he's got to go out there and have a big year, and it's got to translate into the team having success. Otherwise, you're going to reevaluate whether or not he deserves the commitment to be the starter going into 2022.
A lot of pressure. All right. People have waited. You've done what? What'd you do? Like, stump with Schusen, stump Damer. You're trying to stump anybody and everybody.
Yeah, but there's nobody like Dave Rothenberg.
There's nothing
nobody
like the original.
Like him.
Nothing, which apparently I'm going to get embarrassed because you guys have a plan in place to give me a hard time. And that's fine. And maybe I'll surprise you. Who knows? Let's go. Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right. 800-919-3776. I know that you guys have something up your sleeves, but as we always do, let's start with our dear friend, the great, talented Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, y'all. Quick shout out to JG up in Muttontown. My boy listens to DCR every single weekday, 5 to 8. David, you know it's NFL Hall of Fame. You know that.
Yeah, tomorrow, the Hall of Fame game, and I believe this weekend, the induction ceremony. Yes.
So I have a NFL Hall of Fame question for you.
Okay.
Among eligible running backs, meaning not Frank Gore or Adrian Peterson, can you tell me the running back with the most career yards not enshrined in Canton?
All right, so let's think. Emmitt Smith is a Hall of Famer. Walter mm-hmm. Payton, Hall of Famer. Sanders, Hall of Famer. Curtis Martin is also a Hall of Famer, right?
Yeah.
Chris? Yeah.
This is, think recent, Dave. This is somebody that's recent.
Recent. But he said it can't be Frank Gore. Right? He said it can't be Frank Gore.
Can't be him or Adrian Peterson.
Right, because they're not eligible yet. Bettis is a Hall of Famer.
It's somebody fairly recent, Dave.
All right. I'm thinking of one of two. You know it, Chris, huh?
Yes.
I'm thinking either Fred Taylor. Oh, how about Corey Dillon?
Mm. getting colder.
Or Steven Jackson. Those would be the three that I would think.
No, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Those are the top three. Can I get number one?
Those are the top three of guys that are have 5 years of not being in the NFL, most yards. Those are the top three. Oh, God.
Each of those guys actually did a stint in New England.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go.
Follow your first mind, Dave. Follow your first mind, Dave.
Fred Taylor. Yes.
That is correct.
Nicely done.
Oh, God, that felt good. Yeah.
Nicely done, Dave Rothenberg.
That's 1-0. There we have it.
Very impressive. Very impressive.
All right. Chris, I'm told that you are participating in this week's edition of Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, in honor of Rick DiPietro, I feel like I've got to step in as the other member of the show unit that's here, and I've got to give you a question. So I'm gonna lead with a question from last night's versus battle, aforementioned, between the Locks and the Dipset.
All right.
I mean, one side of the fair all the way. I mean, Jadakiss dominated the stage. And in light of that, I'm going to ask you to name me one song from Jadakiss. One song. If you can name just one song that Jadakiss performed on, I will give you credit. Just one.
ASAP Rocky. I love the work.
Of who?
So, Lucy Burke.
Lil' Kim is Lil.
I believe by my side. But what?
Wow, what Dave Rothenberg.
What I do not like is the goal entirely here is to make me look silly and foolish. that was the goal. But I think that's early on in his career as well.
There you go, Dave. I'm really impressed. That's correct. Off the top rope. I did not expect you to know one Jadakiss song. The fact that you did, it just shows how dominant you are when it comes to Stump Rothenberg.
Thank you. Thank
like
you.
you're the guy that knows almost everything about everything.
Yeah,
I love
but I got a couple things I got to tell you. Rap is not a strength of mine. That's number one. Number two is a completely separate discussion here. Have you seen the guy on Jeopardy? By the way, right now.
No, I haven't. Please fill me in.
He's won. He continues to win. I think he's won. I don't know 8-10 days in a row. He is unbelievable. Phenomenal. Give it a watch.
I mean, is he on the level of Ken Jennings in Jeopardy James?
If Ken Jennings is like the Peyton Manning level, this guy is right one notch below that. He's not
really.
He's not the Ken Jennings. He's not the James Holzhauer level, but he's right below that. Right below it.
Okay.
He's very good.
All right. I got to tune in and check it out.
And you know who's a very good host? LeVar Burton. Excellent host.
LeVar Burton from
excellent.
Reading Rainbow Frame.
Yes.
There
excellent.
You go.
Excellent host. All right.
All right.
Let's go to Chris in Bethpage, who usually brings it pretty good in Stump Rothenberg.
Yes. In fact, Dave, when you were out last week, I called with Susan and Chris Canny, and I asked them a question that I had stumped you on a couple of years ago, and Canty got it right.
All right. Nice.
Who rushed for the most yards in the last decade? And he got it that it was Shady McCoy. So kudos to Chris Ken.
See, I'm trying to hold it down for you, Dave.
More than trying, Chris. All right, Chris and Bethpage, what do you got?
All right, who scored the longest touchdown in NFL history? Bearing in mind that it was had to be from a return. You know, it wasn't, you know, a 99-yard Tony Dorsett run. It was the longest touchdown in NFL history on a return.
Does it have a local flavor to it, Chris?
Yeah, was it Cromartie?
Yeah.
No. Nope.
That's what I was thinking, Dave.
This guy did it within the last 10 years.
So it's got to be like one of those 109.
He's the only guy that ever 109-yard touchdown.
Cordarrelle Patterson then, right? The Packers Vikings game.
You got it. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Why would you play the negative sound, Santy? Oh, thanks,
finger
Chris.
Slipped. I corrected myself. You're good.
I mean, come on. Be better. Be better. All right, let's continue along. Let's go to Ryan in Saratoga. Good morning, Ryan. You're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, 99. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
So here we go. So recently, Joey Votto hit a home run in 7 consecutive games. Mm-hmm. who are the three players that hit home runs in 8 consecutive games in Major League Baseball? And you only got to get 2. But there's some New York flavor in this, so what's your take?
All right, so I knew this prior. I know Don Mattingly is one. I believe Ken Griffey Jr. Also did it.
2, but let's go for the
Dale Long
home run.
Would be the 3rd.
Let's go for. Come on. All right.
Now I will be honest with you, Chris. I knew Mattingly. I remember when he did.
Okay.
Griffey, I knew, did it. I did not know Dale Long did it until Votto was at 7 and people were discussing who had the record. By the way, I was at the game where he was going for 8. Did you see what he did in that game?
No, I didn't.
He hit it off the literally the top of the wall. The top of the wall. Like 8 inches higher, and he tied the record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
That's incredible.
All right, let's go to John in Fairfield. I think we're undefeated here on Stump Rothenberg. John,
I like it, Dave. Keep it rolling.
John, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
What's going on, guys? My question is, who is the NCAA football leader in career receiving yards?
Career receiving yards.
I don't know why I feel like it's... Are we saying 1A?
No, this is number 1.
No, like 1A is it? It's
yes,
Division
1A.
1 school is my question.
Correct.
It was Corey Davis at one point. I don't know if that's broken, Chris.
Dave, I would follow your first mind. Your first instinct is usually the right one, so I would lead with that. Plus, it's got a little local flair, so it's relevant.
We've had some local flavor questions today. We'll go with Corey Davis.
That is correct.
Oh, God, I felt good. Yeah.
Can we drop
the
mic
done,
here?
Dave.
Can we just drop the mic?
Yeah. Undefeated Stump Rothenberg coming back from vacation.
I mean, we just
can't
went
do
baseball.
It any better.
We went rap music. We went NFL. We went college football. We tackled everything there.
I love it, Dave. I love it.
Welcome back.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to be filling in on the K Show for the entire week from 2 to 6:30. We do 3 hours on this show. They do 4.5 on their show. Do you worry about any, all of us, fading from 5 o'clock on?
No, I don't worry about it, Dave, and let me tell you why. We'll actually have a chance to get a solid night's sleep.
That's true.
Before we do the K-Show. I mean, usually we're operating off of 3 or 4 hours of sleep. Now we'll be able to come in well-rested, fired up, ready to go. So, no, I don't think we'll have a problem doing the 4.5 hours. I just don't.
You're right. And then we have ENN in that last half hour.
ENN be in RJ? Well, I guess RJ won't be
RJ's
on the show,
not coming with us.
Yeah, RJ. Yeah, that's the thing. So who's going to do ENN for us?
I guess Gunling.
Gunling's
going to
do ENN?
You know who it should be? It should be Rick.
Rick should do ENN?
It's not fair.
Because I think he'd be great at it, but I can hear... He's not even with us today, and I can actually hear him complaining.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
I don't know if I'd have a problem with that. The question is, how would Peter Rosenberg feel about it?
With Rick doing it?
Yes.
I think Rick would be great at it.
Did everyone do that?
Right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I know, but maybe Rosenberg might feel like Ricky is infringing on his territory a little
bit. Well, then you know what? Rosenberg could not take vacation.
Wow, okay.
I'll give it to you whenever you want.
I see what you did right there. I got you.
Right? I mean,
simple
Wally
solution. Simple solution.
Could be a Wally Pipp situation where maybe Rick is so good at ENN that it becomes a Rick vehicle. You know, Kay would fight for that.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's exactly what Michael wants. Yeah. You know, that's what they're trying to. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to get into that. I don't want to start that, Dave, because you know how that conversation always leads to how
and
that
it
conversation
makes everyone
always,
uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Let's
and
not even go there.
Modern problems require modern solutions.
But we're taking our talents to the afternoon, Dave.
Yes.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we'll be well-rested, 2 to 6:30. And we're going to be on TV.
Hey, are you ready for that? Big TV stars, too.
No, I'm not ready.
You're not?
Maybe next week, but I'm not now.
Not right now?
But I will
be. Now, are you going to go with the makeup? Or are you going to put any powder on? Or
I don't see that happening, though.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, I'm going to go all natural.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Let's go to Rob in Farmingdale. Good morning, Rob. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. Just wanted to quickly talk about the Mets and kind of what's been going on, right?
Yeah.
So
go ahead. Have at it.
Walker, since the All-Star break, our pitching has been not great, right? Stroman, who was one time doing really well, has kind of been mediocre, and then you got Walker, who's just been atrocious since the All-Star break. What, he let up 4 runs in 6 innings last night, 6 runs in 3 innings the other night. It's just not going good. And then on top of it, right now, it was always an issue, but right now it's being magnified times 1,000. We're not driving runs in.
But they haven't all year, Rob.
I mean, it's
been
an
issue. The problem was it got masked, right? Their pitching was so good that when they're scoring 3 or maybe 4 runs on a good day, Chris, they'd allow 1 or 2 and they would win these games. Now the starting pitching has taken a step back and the offense is the same dreadful thing it's been all year long.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, it's the starting pitching that's kind of buoyed the team, and the offense has been subpar all year. And now that the starting pitching is faltering, like some of the lack of production, some of the things going on the offensive end are starting to get highlighted. Like, it's just like, why can't the Mets score any runs? Like, that becomes the big question. Like, you know what I mean? Why can't they give you more than 4 or 5 runs in a game when you're trying to be able to stack series wins? Like, that's got to be a huge concern moving forward. And quite frankly, Dave, I don't have the answer, because these are the names that we expected to be in the Mets lineup at the beginning of the year, save Francisco Lindor. He's the only one that's been out, and it's not like he's been ripping the cover off.
But you got Javi Baez, who you'd say is you know, the equivalent.
Exactly. You got Javi Baez. You got Dom Smith. You got Pete Alonso. You got Jeff McNeil. You got Brandon Nimmo back. Like, I don't understand why you're not able to score more runs more consistently. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's one of those things that remains a mystery. But I will tell you this. If the Mets are going to stay at the top of the NL East, then offense better figure it out, because the starting pitching is going to be dealing with stuff for the rest of the year. I'm just going to accept that as fact, as gospel. It's about the offense being able to step up and being able to hold the team afloat until you can kind of get that part of your team shored up.
Yeah, you say, why has this happened? I think because the guys that you've relied on, Nimmo has been a plus player, right? He's done more than you've expected, but he's also been hurt for a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Alonso has been what you've expected. And other than that, I mean, I thought McNeil would be better. But Lindor, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought he would be better offensively. Dom Smith has disappointed me. Davis is hurt for the bulk of the season. Mm-hmm. Conforto has been the poster boy for what's went wrong. So, you know, we talked about in the first half, Chris, the Pilars and the VRs and the Perazas of the world who were good and were nice stories. But at the end of the day, and everyone knows this, you need your guys to step up. And for the most part, the guys, the offensive weapons that the Mets have not stepped up and not produced for them this season.
Yeah, Dave, but I mean, at what point is that going to happen? I mean, they have the phrase, look at the back of the baseball card, for a reason. Like, over 162, the law of averages is supposed to play out. Like, those guys are supposed to be able to produce. And yet, we're sitting here in the month of August, and it hadn't happened yet. So, I mean, my question to you as a Mets fan is, like, when the hell is it going to happen? If you're not going to do it now, when you're barely clinging to a division lead, I mean, knowing that that's your only hope of being able to get into the postseason, because you're not going to get a wild card, like, if you're not doing it now, when is it going to happen? They need four.
I don't know that it does. I don't know that it does. And B, I don't know how you could expect it. Like, I'm almost at the point where, and this is pathetic, I'm kind of resigned to the fact that I don't think they're going to win this division.
So Dave, how much of a disappointment? How much of a failed season would
failed.
It be?
If they don't
Mets
make the playoffs,
don't get to the
Chris,
playoffs.
Oh, huge. An F on the season. An F. I don't want to hear excuses for injuries. I don't want to hear the DeGrom, whatever. I mean, an F, because you knew it. And I go back to that consistently. You knew last Friday that he was going to miss extended time, and you did nothing about it. You had star pitchers thrown all around the league. You did nothing. You have an owner that said, I'm going to open the checkbook. If I want to go past the luxury tax, I'll blow past the luxury tax. And you did nothing. Your big pitching acquisition at the deadline was Rich Hill. Mm. How is that okay, knowing that DeGrom is not right? So if they do not make the playoffs, an F this year, a huge F.
And what makes that even more disgusting, Dave, is when you look at the landscape of your division. I mean, you talked about it earlier. You said this is the 2021 version of the 2020 NFC East.
It is.
Like, that's what this is. And so if you can't win your division in the NL East this season and get to the playoffs and try to take advantage of having what would be probably the best 1-2-3 punch with your starting pitchers in the playoffs, like, it's a massive disappointment.
Massive. Not even a disappointment. I think that's an understatement.
Failed season.
Now, and I will say this. If Atlanta won 98 games and Philly won 96 and you won 92 and you didn't get in, I would not look at it as a massive disappointment.
Yeah, but those teams are not going to come anywhere
those
close to that.
Those teams stink also.
They're awful.
I mean, they stink. And the fact is that you're barely able to stay ahead of them. It's an embarrassment.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.